A new series, and this series is entitled Making Sense of the Spiritual. Making Sense of the Spiritual. I was praying with the team before service, and I said to them, we need to pray for this because we certainly need to make sense of this because we are spiritual people, and we need to know what that is to be spiritual. And what is the spiritual realm and so forth? And we need to perceive what it is. We need to have a good understanding because there's so many ways that people relate to the spiritual. People say they're spiritual, but what do they mean by spiritual? So we're going to talk about making sense of it. And we're going to talk about the five senses, which is the five normal senses. But we're going to talk about seeing the invisible, hearing the word of God, and so forth. We're going to go through the five senses, and we're going to relate it to the spiritual. Today, we're talking about seeing the invisible. Seeing. How do you see things? How do you interpret what you see? Well, a lot of that is determined by your own worldview. I want you to watch this video that sort of portrays this to us.
EFPTOZ.
Very good. Go to the fourth line.
LPED.
And the next line, please.
PECFD.
Now give me each letter from the seventh line.
FELOPCD.
Let's go to the bottom now. Please read these next three lines.
We don't see things the way they are.
Interesting. Try this. And I'll read those lines for me again.
We see things the way we are.
That's just a little video that shows us how our minds work. We put things together. We try to make sense of things. We can see letters and we don't make sense. We'll just call them the way they are. But suddenly when we see a pattern, now we can read a sentence even though it's just letters again up there. And so it is with our lives. How do we make sense of our life? How do we make sense of the spiritual? Well, a lot of that is based on your background. So how do we know what's right and what's true? We have to come back to a reality. What is truly real? And what are just things that we perceive to be real and aren't necessarily real? How do we come to an answer? Well, we're going to base our understanding of the spiritual on the Word of God, which is written by God. And we're going to see what it says. In it, it contains words spoken by Jesus, who said he came from his Father and he came to earth to show us some things. And he taught and he explained things. And we're going to look at how he explained things. And then we see he died, but he rose from the dead and he ascended back into heaven to authenticate that what I said was really true. No one else came in that way. Spoke with authority, said the way it was, and then died and rose again and ascended into heaven in the sight of everyone to be able to say, this is true, this is reality. So we're going to start and just give a basis this morning, and then we'll go on in weeks ahead. So if you have your message fill-in sheet, I encourage you to take that out. Follow along with us this morning so that you can take these thoughts home with you. Here's your first bullet point. God is a spirit. So we're going to talk about the spiritual. We've got to have to go right back to what is the basis of what is spiritual. And the Bible tells us God is spirit. Our key verse for this whole series is John 4:24. And it says this, God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. A spirit has intelligence. It has free will. It has feelings. But it has no physical form or body. A spirit is intangible. In that way, a spirit is invisible as far as our five natural senses are concerned. Here's your next fill-in. This God who is a spirit has created a spiritual realm and a natural realm. In the spiritual realm, God created spiritual beings. They're called angels. Scripture describes there's different orders of angels. There's seraphims, there are cherubims. There are different kinds of angels. They are in that spiritual realm. They minister to us, the Bible says, these spiritual beings. A third of these angels, the Bible tells us, followed Lucifer in a rebellion against God and went their own way. And as a result, they were cast out of heaven down to this earth. And those angels were no longer called angels, but were called demons. So in the spiritual realm, there's God who is the spirit and the originator of everything. He created a spiritual realm of angels. And by extension, through the fall, there were demonic spirits that Jesus referred to often as he ministered and walked among us. So it's real, but it's not tangible. It's not something you can see. It's not something that you necessarily can hear. It's a spiritual realm all around us. So he created a spiritual realm, but then he also created a natural realm. God created this natural world that we are living in. It's called time-space continuum. And in this world we live, and our five senses allows us to experience it. And I tell you, we have been learning for the last 6,000 years or more about this natural realm. And it involves energy and mass and the speed of light. And how are all these things connected? Well, Einstein came and developed a formula that showed how these things interact, and it's simply E equals MC squared. Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. Well, how does the speed of light come into anything? Well, we see that in this world, time is a result of movement, and it's an interesting study. I don't understand it, but I love to read about it and understand as they, again, peel back the layers of this natural realm until now they're understanding about dark matter. And just in the last month or so, they actually took a photograph of a black hole in so many billions of years away. In fact, the photograph is really how it was billions of years ago, because it took that long for the light to travel. So it's just amazing to me, this natural world that we live in. And it's so real to us, so tangible. But it was created by this invisible God. And 1 Timothy 1 says, now on to the King eternal. God lives in eternity, which is no time. He lives outside of time. Time is not solid even in this realm. The faster you go, time slows down. It's amazing the principles around these things. But it says, on to the eternal King. Immortal, invisible. That is the realm that God lives in the invisible realm. The only wise God. He's the one that it was his wisdom that pulled all this together. And the more we discover this natural realm, the more astounding it is, the wisdom of God. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. That verse just summarizes the creation of a spiritual realm and a natural realm. And we're living in it. Here's your next fill-in. Originally, man had natural senses and spiritual senses. So as God created this world, he created this time-space curriculum, the planets, the stars, the sun, the moon, and he also created this earth, and he created moving and creeping things, and he created animals, and he created man. But he created man in a special way. He not only created man to live in the natural realm, but he created man to relate to himself, which was in the spiritual realm. And so man had both natural senses, the five senses to work in this world, but man, as he originally was created, had a spiritual sense. It said he breathed into him the spirit of life more than what animals had and other creatures on the earth. It says in another place, he put eternity in our heart. He gave us part of himself. Man is made up of body, soul, and spirit. And we have these three parts. The body makes us world conscious. The soul, or the psyche, makes us aware of our own awareness. And we can perceive and we think. And this is an element that no other creation has. We have a soul. And we don't use the word soul so much in modern society. It goes back to the original word, which is psyche. But we have psychologists and psychiatrists. It's all coming from this word soul. And so that is an awareness. And we realize people are more than their physical. And so we will go and see a psychologist. We will go see a psychiatrist. We talk about these areas of attitude and mindsets. And all of this is important because God made us that way. But then there's another part that the world doesn't necessarily see, but the Bible talks about, that man has a spirit. So as our body makes us conscious of the natural world, and our psyche makes us to be self-aware of who we are, the spirit makes us aware of God. And we communicate with God in the spirit. And Adam had that, so that God would come down and he would talk with Adam and Eve, and they would communicate. And so man had this unique place in God's created universe that he could relate to the natural, but he had a spiritual dimension to God, which was so fulfilling for mankind until man sinned. And because of his sin, the spiritual part of man died. And I could take a whole message and go into why sin caused the spiritual side of man to die. But we'll just state it and we'll move on for the sake of this message. But man lost that spiritual dimension. He died spiritually. The day he ate of the fruit, he died spiritually. Adam didn't die for 900 and some years after. But God said, the day you eat of this fruit, you will die. He died spiritually that day. He'd go out from the presence of the Lord. Fend for himself. God, listen, God still talked to man, but he had to create a miracle to do it. He had to create a natural voice that natural ears could hear. And so God, when he would speak to man thereafter, would speak and they would hear a literal voice. They'd hear a voice coming out of a bush. They would hear a voice spoken, but they heard it with natural ears. It was God speaking, but they weren't really listening with spiritual ears. They were listening with natural ears that God created. And if God showed himself, it's called a theophany. It was a man-like appearance of God. Probably the strongest one that we see in Scripture is the angel of the Lord. That God took on a form that they could see him with natural eyes, and he would appear to them and speak to them. But it really wasn't a connection on a spiritual level. It was a connection on a natural level that this spiritual God was communicating with us in this way. What I'm trying to do is paint a picture for you. I want to see the big picture. I want you to see where this whole area of spirituality and how the world talks about spirituality and where it comes from and how we are to relate to it today. Scripture tells us that we're body, soul, and spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says, may God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the scripture says man has three parts. Let's go on to the next one, the next bullet point. The spiritual realm is invisible to the natural eyes. Now, we already talked about this a little bit. But there is a realm beyond what you can see here. It's just as real, just that you can't see it. The way we have it portrayed in the scripture is 2 Kings 6:17, where a prophet was being pursued by a hostile king and his armies, and they came upon them, and this king and all of his armies, and the prophet's servant looked out and saw this huge army all around, and he runs to the prophet and he says, we're surrounded by armies. There's so many of them. And you can read the story, and the prophet says to him, there's more that's with us than's with them. And I can just imagine this servant thinking, more with us than with them? Let me count. 1, 2. And then he starts counting the hundreds of armies. He said, this doesn't make sense. How can there be more with us than is with them? And we pick up the story here in this verse. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Now, what eyes was he asking to be open? Did the man have his eyes shut? No, his natural eyes was open. But the Lord was saying, I want you to do a miracle. I want you to open his spiritual eyes here that he can see a spiritual realm that's there, but he's not seeing it. So he says, open the young man's eyes. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. There was far more spiritual beings there than what was natural beings. It was there all along. They just didn't know it. And I want you to know, in this world that we're living in a natural realm. We're here in this room. What do you hear? I hear the fan going on the air conditioning. What do you see? We see 100 and some people here this morning. But is there more in this room? Yeah. You know, and this is just an example in the natural. I can hear certain things. But there's other things that's going on in this room that I can hear. There's politicians making speeches. There's sports shows on that's talking about the Raptors. There is different shows on different interests that's going on. It's all in the wavelengths of this room. Just that my ear is limited. And so I only hear certain wavelengths. A dog can hear whistles we can't hear because they have a broader wavelength. And the range that we're talking about, like radio waves, they're here. My ear just doesn't pick it up. But if I bring a radio in, I can tune to that station and it transfers the wavelengths and the sounds that's in that wavelength to a range I can hear it. So I can listen. And I say, oh, turn the radio on. Did I create the sounds by turning the radio on? No, I'm now just perceiving what was already here. Now that's just an example in the natural. But in the spiritual, just think about a whole different dimension. Now we're talking not just an expanse of natural realm, but now we're talking about a whole different realm, a spiritual realm, spiritual beings, eternal beings. They're right here. They're not far from us. In fact, Paul, standing on Mars Hill in Athens, he tells the people listening to him, he says, you know what? If you would seek after God, He said all you'd have to do is just sort of reach out because you would find him. I like how it says in one version, you just sort of grope for him. He's right there. Because he says, in him we live and move and have our being. This natural realm is sustained by the spiritual realm. But I'm only limited to this realm because my spiritual awareness has been shut down. And I don't just naturally hear God, see God. Now, God will still reach us through different means and different ways. I pray that he's speaking to us today through the words I'm speaking. In fact, Jesus said, the words I speak to you are spirit and their life. It wasn't just idle words. They were coming directly from the Spirit of God speaking to them. So I'm trying to just show us what the spiritual realm is. And our title of this message is Seeing the Invisible. How can we be open to this realm? Here's your next fill-in. Well, what is really real? Well, I mean, what's really real? Is it the natural realm? Is it the spiritual realm? Is the natural realm more real than the spiritual realm? Well, the Bible gives us the answer in 2 Corinthians 4:16. It says, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now, how are you looking at something that's not seen? For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It's in this eternal realm of the spirit where there's no time. So what is more real? Temporary things or eternal things? Well, we'd say it's eternal things are more real. But this says eternal things are the things you can't see with your natural senses. And so you have to come to understand what I see with my natural senses. It's real in this realm. But there's something beyond this. I need to be aware of a spiritual realm beyond this natural realm. Now, the world has philosophies that talk to these things, but they're sort of twisted and they're not clear. It's like it's mixed things together. And you're going to see what I mean here in a moment. I've really simplified this down. There's thousands of philosophies. But I'm just simplifying it down to two that the others come under these categories. Here's the first one. Naturalism. It's in your, you can fill it in your sheet. Naturalism. And this is the philosophy that says nature contains all reality. If you want to know what's real, the totality of reality, it's what you can see. With your five senses, that's the totality of reality. All physical effects can be accounted for by physical causes. It's basically the scientific method. And the scientific method is fantastic in exploring the natural world. Because you don't say something's true unless you've designed an experiment, tested it, saw the results, drawn your conclusions, and you can repeat that experiment over and over again. Now, that's the scientific method. And it works great for discovering black holes and black matter and all kinds of things. But the problem is you can't put God in a test tube. You can't put the spirit in a realm where you test it with natural things because the spiritual realm created it. And it's outside our realm. That's why God said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are way beyond your ways. And so we're foolish to try to put our minds and our thoughts. In fact, that's what the Bible says. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Because everything tells us there is. There's an emptiness within us because we were created originally with a spirit. And that spirit was shut down because of sin. And so everything in me says there's something more. There's got to be more to life than this. And there's so many feelings and longings in us that says there's got to be more. As someone said, there's a God-shaped hole in every individual. And only God can fill that hole. And so you can try to do a lot of things, filling it with natural things, but it'll never satisfy. And we used to sing a song, only Jesus can satisfy my soul. It's a spiritual realm. That's the hole in mankind. So naturalism, though, just limits it. So no, it's just here. Now here's the other category, spiritualism. Spiritualism. You look it up like I did. It says the belief that the spirits of the dead exist. In other words, there's something beyond the tangible. And have both the ability and the inclination to communicate with the living. So this is the basis that gives everything else that comes forward in that spiritualism realm of the paranormal. You can watch TV programs that says there's a paranormal and there's this house is haunted and there's ghosts here and the whole area of mediums and witchcraft, charms, horoscopes, astrology. It's all saying there's something beyond what is natural. It's ESP, extra sensory perception. You have perceptions beyond the five senses. And, of course, the famous movie, The Sixth Sense, which, again, is trying to make sense of the spiritual, but from a humanistic idea without consulting what really is true. And so there's this mixture. And so people claim to be spiritual. They've never gone to church. They never read the Bible. They don't believe in God necessarily, other than a force. I'm spiritual. I believe there's a force out there. And so they mix it all in, and someone even contribute that, well, God gave me this gift to tell the future. And so all of this is mixed into spirituality. But there's no substance to it. There's no truth to it. It's everybody can just sort of choose what you feel. And if you got a yen, and well, I have an aura. I see auras around people. And it's just a mixture of so many things, and people get caught up in it. Now, here's the question. Is there supernatural in it? Yes, there is. Because this is what the Bible tells us. Demonic spirits masquerade in these things. And so you do have a seance with Aunt Mary, and Aunt Mary tells you things that you know only Aunt Mary knew. You and Aunt Mary knew this, and she said it, so this has got to be real. And this happened. It's got to be real. Or they said this was happening and it came about. And they told me this about my past and it was true. That they don't realize it's not what it seems to be. Demonic spirits in the spiritual realm is trying to exploit you, mess you up, draw you in and draw you down. The way Jesus said, the blind are leading the blind. And they're both going to fall into the ditch. You can be spiritually blind and try to feel yourself into a spiritual realm, but you have no way of being there. And so you get encompassed by a spiritual realm, the demonic realm, that starts off okay, but now it's captured you. But it's not really what is on the surface, it's what's behind it. And that's why he says we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but about spiritual wickedness. There's spiritual wickedness in the world. It's meant to destroy you and to hurt you and control you by these things. To think if I do this at this certain time, it's going to be good, but if I don't do it at this time, it's bad because my horoscope has told me to do this. I remember talking to an individual who was really deep into this. And he told me, he said, it was real. He said, I am convinced. He said, we did and we charted things and those things came about. He had become a Christian. He said, what I realize now, he said, there was a spiritual force behind it that I didn't realize. I was in the natural, just sort of looking at these things, charting the skies and the heavens. He said, I didn't realize there was a spiritual force behind it that was utilizing it and trying to control me until I put my faith in Christ, and suddenly my eyes was open and I realized all these things were bogus. Even today, in a good sense, we are aware of spiritual people. Let me try to explain it to you. When I go up to Grand River Hospital, I have a badge. I should have brought it over. It's sitting in my desk in my office. But when I go in to visit people in the hospital, I have a badge. It has my picture on it and my name. And you know what it says under it? Spiritual caregiver. I'm a spiritual caregiver. So even a natural university, hospital, who believes in x-rays and science and all these things, recognize, you know, people are more than the physical. And when they have a spiritual counselor, it helps them. Prayer changes things. They don't understand it. They call it faith. You know, even on our religious page, it used to be called, religion, but now it's called faith, the faith page. And it includes everything. From all the religions to they do things on witchcraft and, Satanism. And it's anyone that has faith, sort of, in something that's beyond the natural. Well, they're people of faith. Now, Christians are people of faith. But you see, it's clouded. The world clouds it with all these other things. And so someone says, well, I don't believe in God or Christ, but I'm spiritual. I get messages from the Spirit. And they think it's good. And everybody just chooses what it is. But I want you to know there's a substance to the Spirit. There's a truth about the spiritual realm that we need to understand. We need to, here's the next feeling. We need to discern between the soul, or that which is psychic, and true spirit. You have to discern between the two. The psychic is that person that's working in the area of the soul. And, you know, as we say, they have ESP. So they're functioning out in the world as a psychic. It comes from the word soul. But we need to discern between that which is of the soul and that which is of the spirit. And the scripture says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is a way to separate between that which is of the soul and that which is in the psychic realm, in that spiritual aspect. It's really a pseudo-spirituality because it's in the area of the soul, exploited by demonic spirits. You need to discern between that and true spirituality. Now, what I just said will clarify a lot of things for you. That is a muddle in so many people's life. They don't see the difference between a psychic spirituality, a pseudo-spirituality, dominated by demonic spirits, and that which is true spirituality, of having your spirit come alive to a true spiritual realm. And this is, if you're going to see the invisible, you have to be clear on these issues. Well, the Bible warns you, stay away from soothsayers. You stay away from fortune tellers. You don't get involved in those things. It's just a deceit. It's a counterfeit. Don't go down that path because you're going to be deceived. So, here's your next fill-in, and I'm going to try to quicken this up. There is only one way into the legitimate spiritual realm, folks. There's only one way in. And Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth about this whole matter, and the life. No one comes to the Father, this spiritual being who created heaven and earth, except through me. Because you have to get past sin that destroyed your perception of the spiritual by coming through Christ and his salvation. And it says, as I've already mentioned, the blind lead the blind otherwise. They both fall in the ditch. So Jesus came to make a way back to God. He came as the God-man so he could join God and man together. And he took the sins of the world as a man, and he hung between heaven and earth as a man on the cross, and he made reconciliation, satisfying God's demand for judgment upon sin on the cross, but showing God's love and mercy by taking our sins upon himself. So the cross is the meeting place, listen to me, between the natural realm and the spiritual realm. He's the only way into the true spiritual realm is through Jesus Christ. So if you want to see the true spirit, if you want to experience that which is truly spiritual, it is only through Jesus Christ. That which was intangible became tangible. I love these verses. 1 John 1, verses 1 to 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. I mean, they saw him with natural eyes. In which we have looked upon, our hands have handled. They actually took Jesus' hands and handled him. Concerning the word of life. The life was manifest, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifest to us, that which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship, that you can experience this. You can have fellowship. You can relate to this with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. And after the resurrection, Jesus appeared in his resurrected form, because now he is the first fruits. He's our older brother. He died. He took our sins. And this is how he words as he meets his disciples in Luke 24. Behold my hands and my feet. That is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. So even now, Jesus is God, but he was the God-man. And that man part of God has a resurrected body, as we are going to have a resurrected body like his heavenly body. So we're going to be like Christ. I mean, it's astounding. It's mind-boggling as you look at this. That God has made a way for us to come into his presence and experience him, but it was through Jesus Christ. So here's your next villain. Our spirit must be brought back to life. If you're going to see spiritual things, your spirit has to be brought back to life. Nicodemus comes to Jesus and asks him about this. He wants to know about spiritual things, eternity, how he can be part of his kingdom. And this is what Jesus says to him. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't see it. You can't see it. You won't experience it. It's invisible to you. Unless you are born again. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again? He's only thinking physical. Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, no. Unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The way we sense the spiritual is to be born again. You have to come through Jesus. Your sins have to be dealt with. We show it's dealt with by baptism. We bury our old life. But then we come out of the water to live a new life in the Lord, filled with his Spirit. His Spirit now joins with my spirit. My spirit is made alive. Now Christ is in me. He's prompting me. He's speaking to me. Not in a voice out there that's tangible, but an inner voice of the heart. Have you heard him in your heart? I mean, this is the spiritual realm, where you feel him and sense him in your heart. And he guides and directs us. So Christians have access to the Holy Spirit is your next fill in. I mean, we have the Holy Spirit, the real Spirit, the whole Spirit, not a pseudo Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that fills us. Our outward man could be perishing. That's the natural. But the inward man is being renewed day by day. And here's your last fill in. We need to see people as God sees them. Now we need to see through God's eyes. We're filled with the Spirit, but we're not limited to a natural perspective. Now we can see things in a spiritual realm. As the Spirit discerns the thoughts and intents of a person's heart, as you're filled with God's Spirit and you hear that prompting, it comes as promptings. You just know it. It's a different hearing. You hear, but it's not naturalized. You're seeing something, but it's not naturalized. Your spiritual senses have been awakened because you're born again and you're filled with God's Spirit. Now, to what end? He wants us to move in this world because he's poured his Spirit out in us. He's put his love in our heart for people. And now he wants you to see people in a different way. I want to close with this final video that illustrates this point so well.
Kid, every time I'm pulling out, he's right there. Man, and someone needs to talk to his parents. If they're ever at home. What is up with the traffic today? It's and always, every day, this intersection's always crowded. I hate pulling out of here. I need some of these dumb roads. Oh, there's... Okay, so I'm not even here. Right. Great lady. The princess of parking. Oh, sure. Take the spot. Way to be considerate. Oh, are you kidding me? Unbelievable. Oh.
Thank you, ma'am. Oh,
it's about time. Let's see. What do I want?
Yeah, could I add a cookie to that order?
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, no problem, only guy in the world. I'm sure you need your cookie. The world... your oyster, and he's serving your cookies.
Thanks,
thank
sir.
You so much.
Uh-huh. What can I get for you?
Yeah, I'll have a tall decaf macchiato.
Yeah, sure, no problem. $3.85. And it might take a few minutes here. We've got quite a line, obviously, and thanks for your patience.
Great.
Yeah, great. Great for me. Waiting again. Unbelievable. What? What is... What is that? What in the world? What am I supposed to do? How can I do anything about that? Can I even help with that? I don't...
Your coffee, sir. Oh.
I can't take this anymore. I gotta get out of here.
Hey, what?
Thank you.
Hey, buddy. Come here.
Let's stand together. You know, that's quite a question at the end. Do we get it? Do we really realize why God wants to give us spiritual insight? He wants us to look into people's hearts and see their need, look past what your natural eyes see, how we react to people. He wants us to see the longing. He wants us to see them the way He sees them. I am convinced we are rude to people and cut them off for what we see on the outward. And God's looking at the heart, and we're His representative, and we're there, and He's just saying, I wish you could see this person the way I see them. Can you see their need? Can you look past their faults? Can you see what you can do in that moment? I guarantee you, if you ask God to open your eyes, He'll do it, because He's looking for people that will just be His representatives. We're His body. We're the physical, tangible body of Jesus in this world. He's in us by His Spirit, but we're the tangible. We need to connect the Spirit to our physical. We need to connect the Spirit to our words, to our actions, to how we conduct ourselves. Be led of the Spirit. Be directed by the Spirit. And we'll see powerful, powerful things happen. And God will be glorified. Lord, I ask this morning as we close this service that You would open our eyes. Not just to soldiers in a field around us, but open our eyes to the needs of people. Help us, Lord, to see how You see. You filled us with love, Your compassion. Now, Lord, help us to get out of the natural and live in the spiritual and follow our spiritual perceptions. Pray for every person that's here, but we'll be different as we go from this place. Open our eyes, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.